Good morning, good afternoon, or good night. I'm your host, Adrian Conway. Welcome to another episode of Rising Pod. Today, we're talking about the Madrid CrossFit Championship. It's a licensed CrossFit or sanctioned event. And there's going to be some big names that are thrown down. So I wanted to take a look at the programming because it goes down about a week from when I'm recording this episode. I'm about to take off and go teach some amazing folks what it means to be a CrossFit level one coach this weekend. I'm off to Minnesota to do such a thing, but I wanted to hop on here and try to help myself stay in the loop of what is going on in regards to competing. Because I know Madrid had some big names last year. I know that they put on a great competition. I know that there's a lot of athletes posting on social media that they're excited to go, that they're excited to, take place in essentially what is going to be going down there. And so with all that being said, I wanted to dive in, look at the programming, just from the outside looking in. I'm just going to pull it up right here, whatever we see that they've released so far on social media from the elite individual category. That is where I'll specifically be focused. Maybe if I have the time, I'll hop on and go through the team test, but we're just going to go through, talk about the individual tests. And of course, maybe speculate on some faces and names that are rolling down there. I'm not sure the roster is yet set or not. But again, I can tell you before we dive into the test, I mean, last year I know that Emma Tall who came out with the dub in the elite women's division. Emma McQuaid took second. Manon Agones third. Lazar Jukic ran away with the crown last year on the men's side. Aniel Akai. And then also David Shrunke came in third last year. So again, when we look at the lineup, it's like, good night, big names, folks that went on to have solid years at the CrossFit Games this year. We know Lazar did not perform the way that he wanted to necessarily. Emma had a pretty strong showing though throughout her experience this year at the 2023 CrossFit Games. David Shrunke was there as an individual. So nonetheless, let's take a look and dive into exactly what will be programmed or what will be demanded from the athletes this year at the event. I'm going to go ahead and jump in. Let me check out and see how my screen is being shared right here. Cool. I'm cool with it. I'll be way down under here. So test number one, 15 box jump overs. 30 sandbag squats. Now, the sandbag squat is an odd load, which I'm a big fan of because you know that we start to become really married to particular loads, right? We start to really love 150 and 100, and we just kind of call it what it is, and we repeat that on and on and on again. So I love the variance here. 30 sandbag squats at 80 pounds for the men and 60 pounds for the women, 45 GHD sit-ups, 30 pistols, which it does not signify where these pistols will be alternating pistols, whether they need to be 15 on one leg, 15 on the other in sets of five, we don't know. Then 15 deficit strict handstand pushups, 15 centimeters. Folks, I don't even know. You're going to have to check up on your boy with the math, but I'm assuming that's like five inches approximately. And 60/48 calorie on the assault bike. Or the air bike in general. They got AB listed there. 15 deficit strict handstand pushups. So now we're working our way back out the other way. 30 pistols, 45 sit-ups on the GHD, 30 sandbag squats, 15 box jump overs, 42 inches and 32 inches. So it's an out and back again. The title of the test is called The Mad Beginning. I love the test. I'm a fan. I'm a big sucker for an out and back chipper. I think it's a beautiful way to tell the story of what's happening on the competition floor to the spectators, whether they were watching from a distance, in like a broadcast perspective, or we're watching it there live in the heat of competition. Now I'll also lean into saying that I love to do this as a competitor. I love when the floor is set in such a way that I can easily look and navigate left to right and understand where my competitors are, those who are a threat to me, those who I know I need to beat from a points perspective. Now, because this is the first test of the weekend and because it's called The Mad Beginning, we can only assume it's naturally going to go in order the way that we go through them here. They won't need to be worrying about that. They'll be worrying about getting the best score possible. But what better way than to start a competition with a very well-rounded, traditional CrossFit style program to test? And I say that because we like to get Over the years, we've gotten to the point where we try to mock or mimic the games a ton, right? We can go back to like 2018 when we had all those athletes show up from other countries and it was a crazy large amount of athletes competing. We actually did get a chance to open the CrossFit game, traditional CrossFit workout, but those opportunities have been few and far between. It's usually some mixed modal, longer duration, or even single modality. I guess technically this year was a couplet because of the run and the significance of the run in the bike test. But you guys get the idea. I'm a huge fan of test one, well done and well programmed. I don't really think that you have a particular sticking point here for most of the elites that are going to take the floor. You know, for me particularly, I'm looking at those 15 deficit strict handstand pushups. And again, depending on the severity of this deficit, for me, that'd be a bit of a sticking point. Like, I'm not just going to kick up and bang out 15 unbroken because of what I know awaits me on the other side of that assault bike, but also because the bike living there in the middle, and it's not a number of calories that allows you to just check out there. You know, to be quite frank, we are probably going to spend most of the workout at any given one movement in any given piece of time at the bike. So with that being considered, you do have to have some haste there and you can certainly lose some time. And this is really the only particular place where you can kind of sneakily get some work in. And what I say by that, I mean that, like, you know, other competitors can't naturally see over your shoulder as easily or view exactly how fast you're going or what RPMs you're holding. They can assume and they can guess, but it's kind of hard to really know when someone's making slight work of those calories and starting to make up and or pull away from the squad. Let's get on to test number two. But again, overall, test one, great way, the mad beginning to start the weekend. Let's get some traditional CrossFit in. Let's see who have been staying on top of those pistols. And again, listen, pistols get a bad name. Listen, folks, if pistols are dangerous or bad or you don't like them, you need to go play another methodology or sport, in my opinion. I'm serious. It's a single leg squat. We squat on two legs all the time. If you don't take time to step back and refine your ability to stabilize yourself on one leg, pass below parallel and stand up. Look, unless something is listed there that I don't know, they're not weighted. They're body weight. We're talking about elite level fitness here. And y'all are complaining about, well, they look like this or, oh, they risk it and all that. You better go back and research and learn a little bit about technique and consistency, then and only then intensity. I digress. We're going on to test two. Facilito. Test number two for time, 42, 30 and 18. Chest to bar pull-ups, 21, 15, 9 snatch. Yuck. It is increasing in load and it starts at 145 pounds approximately for the men. Then it goes to 165 pounds approximately for the men. Then it goes to 185 pounds approximately for the men. For the ladies, that's going to round out to be, let's see here, about 100 pounds, then 120, then 145. All right. And so, you know, they're going to be snatching that a substantial amount of times, right? 21, 15, 9 is the volume of snatches that is going to be demanded of them. Wow. So for the second test, I love this. I love that it's short. It is redundant because it's very grip intensive. It doesn't list whether you have to squat snatch it or you can power snatch it. So I'm assuming a snatch, like the snatch universally means, ground to overhead in one action. So if you can catch into power, it's power all day. And you know, the way the bar is loaded and the way the reps are set up, you can't just do singles. Now, of course, you got to be under the assumption that the final nine after those 18 final chest to bar pull-ups are going to be done as singles for most of the field. Unless someone really has something special in the bag and has been conserving something for us. Again, this is going to present unique challenges for people who don't often visit local muscle endurance and stamina training in their day to day. I love a value of a test like this because it's just like you could have the cardiovascular fitness to keep up with anyone in the field in a test like this. And the volume doesn't have to be completely crazy, although this is relatively high volume for a chest to bar pull up. And so you could have the fitness quote unquote, right, you could have the ability to suffer. But when it comes to this, if your hand continually having the ability to hold on to the pull-up bar, or you don't have the self-awareness to know when to break them up early and often, right? 42 and 30, these athletes that are showing up elite, they could do 42 and 30 unbroken. But just because you can doesn't mean you should. And I can't wait to watch this play out, because there's going to be some really hard choices that athletes are going to be forced to make. And you're going to see some veteran athletes. And again, I don't really know how this field will shake out in regards to veterans versus youth, who's geared up to compete. I don't know those details yet, so I'm kind of sharing this blind. But I can say that what you're going to see is there will be some vets that come out and potentially even go bigger intentionally to draw out some of the younger or lesser experienced athletes so that they make poor choices. And then the latter half of that round of 30 and 15 in the middle, that's when the inexperienced athletes will start to drop away, and the vets will have already this plan formulated so that they can have success later in the weekend. I can tell you that between Facilito and also the Mad Beginning, there's going to be some upper body residual fatigue that will exist, right? The pressing that takes place in test one, the redundant pulling and hinging here that's going to take place in test number two. I love the flavor that they're coming out with so far. Time cap 11. I love again that the weights go up as well. You know what I appreciate about this test is it's not overly programmed, right? Like it's going to be exciting. It's going to demand work capacity. It's not an all out sprint. But it's something that you have to be completely self-aware in order to have an opportunity to maximize your output here and your opportunity. Test number three is lifting test. And it's pretty simple. Three rounds in a 90-second window, 50 jump bar double unders, and one clean and jerk rep max. The score is your heaviest lift. And the tiebreak is your second heaviest lift, which means, you can't really get no misses, okay? What you're going to do is you're going to have the opportunity to come out with a load that primes you and gets you ready, and then you got to count. Your two next lifts are serious, right? They're probably going to be pretty close together. You're not going to see huge jumps, I don't think, but you never know. There could be some hosses out there that are just going to kind of be sitting on this thing. But again, not many attempts. This strategically kind of lines up similar to the CrossFit Games, but different, where athletes got two attempts to snatch, two attempts clean and jerk. But I like this better. There's a little bit of fitness here. There's a little bit of skill and accuracy that is going to be demanded of them in regards to these 50 bar double unders. And let's go ahead and jump right into what is this bar jump rope contraction. I'm going to look it up. Okay. It looks like RX Smart Gear got something like it. So if you guys are watching this on YouTube, I'm going to pull it up real quick. Just for the simple fact that we have an idea of what this looks like. So if you take a look, it's basically a contraption where it goes straight across and the athletes spin it in front of them and the rope revolves around their body. So instead of hands out to the side, this is one apparatus. It's a stick, and the ends of the stick are connected by the jump rope. They're going to be doing double unders there. Now, of course, this deems like who has had the capacity to get access to this, who's putting the most work with it. Is it easily adaptable? I love that the athletes have some time to practice it, but it's still new. Again, being able to highlight their ability to train and like do the thing, you know, they're actually able to, like we can actually tell and see who and how things are going to be playing out here with their ability to adapt. So I'm still a fan of it. I take it or leave it, but it's pretty cool if you ask me. I think that it's something worth, throwing in and having as a bit of a new test there. So 50 of those bad boys into the clean and jerk. Now, what are you going to open with here if you're an athlete? You're probably going to open somewhere between 85 and 90% of your one rep max, depending on what they're doing standing around. The beauty of double unders and a clean and jerk is that this actually primes athletes for a really big lift. It can prime your central nervous system. It's probably not going to create like a redundant fatigue that affects like negatively your ability to move large loads, long distances, and quickly. So I don't imagine that it's going to be a huge fatigue building movement, but it will challenge the execution. It could frustrate some athletes if they can't stay smooth. But all in all, it will still be a lifting test categorically. So I can appreciate it and respect it. And of course, it's always fun to see new things thrown in a way that athletes are tested, but also have the time and the accessibility to really kind of, I can't say master them, but be competitive, show up competitive with the movement. So we'll see what happens. I think you open with a lift that primes you, and then your two lifts are your most important. And how heavy will they go? That's what we don't know. We will see. This is the lifting test, and I think it'll be a cool one to watch at that. Let's see. I have lost my navigation here. Let me pull up the next test, El Parque. El Parque, folks, is going to excite you tremendously. It's going to be something that you may have never guessed before. Here we go, 5K run. Can't wait. Ironically, it's presented by GORUCK. Ironically, they're going to be running with a plate carrier, 45 pounds for the men and 35 pounds for the ladies. My thoughts on this. My thoughts on this weighted 5K. Take it or leave it, you know? For me, gosh, we've just seen it so much, like a weighted run. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what it says about me. I don't know if like it's, I like it, but I don't like it. You know, I think that we're at this place where, look, if you're going to do a run, let's just do a long run with some stuff mixed in that asks athletes to exhibit other capacities instead of just being like, how fast can you run heavy? I don't think it's that entertaining. I would rather watch athletes run without a vest. I want to watch them run fast. I don't want to watch someone max a muscle snatch. I don't want to watch someone max a muscle clean and push press or muscle clean and strict press. This is not that exciting. So I don't really like watching too many tests that actually minimize the power output or their ability to express high power and their best. You know, I do appreciate the variance aspect of this. I don't think there's anyone out there not training weighted runs periodically enough to be prepared for this. And now we just turn this traditional cardiovascular test, which look, I'm sure that every athlete that's going to the CrossFit Games or gone to the CrossFit Games that's going to Madrid is like, thank God this isn't just a regular run. But again, the other hand, it's like, cool, now they're just going to run slower. So not my favorite. I don't think it's a miss at all by its programming. We'll continue to see as it plays into the whole scheme of things as we advance forward. But hey, test four doesn't get me as excited as the other three. I thought they've done a good job so far. Test number five, the burpee maker. Oh, I like the title. 4x75 burpees over the bar. I read through this a little bit before I got on here, and I think they just need to clean up a little bit of terminology here. But here's what we're going to get to. They need to do 75 burpees over the bar for the workout to finish. Okay, that's when time ends, when they get 75. In a 2-minute window, the athletes are responsible for 16 calories on the rower for the men, 12 on the calories on the rower for the women, 12 thrusters. This is approximately 80 and 65 pounds, or 90 and 65 pounds. Yeah, about 90 and 65 is the approximate weight. I mean, we can generalize and say 95, 65. And then max bar-facing burpees in the remainder of that 2-minute window. So they got to get the calorie row done, which is 16 and 12. They got to get the 12 thrusters done. Cool. Now you get to go to work on your burpees. Your burpees is the score that matters. At the 2-minute window, the time concludes. You can't work anymore. You get a 1-minute reset period, rest period. And then you start it again. It's 5 sets or 75 burpees over the bar, whichever comes first. And to be clear, those 75 burpees over the bar are bar-facing burpees. So again, for me, like in the description or in a graphic, I'd like to see something a little bit cleaner. And all I mean is like, hey, this is 75 burpees for time. A line, a little bit more space under the line. It says, in a 2-minute window for 5 sets, with 1-minute rest in between, athletes must, boom, and then you list the work. Because this is just like, oh, you can kind of guess and piece together. I think there's a lot of people who read this, at least, I mean, for me, and I'm like, what? 75 burpees over the bar in a 2-minute window? Interesting. I'm like, okay, that's pretty hard. not doing it, and none of these athletes are doing it. So, I mean, I guess if it's lateral, right? I guess it's totally realistic if it's lateral, and yeah, it could be done there. But nonetheless, I digress. It's a great test, I think, you know, just from a graphic perspective. And sorry if you're reading it, and or I'm confusing you because you're not reading it. But hopefully the way that I verbalized it, I love this test. I like the way it plays into it again a little bit. I like work rest intervals. And the reason I like them is because, again, the self-awareness, I think there is an ability for athletes who are mentally tough to really shine in these workouts. Because if they know themselves and they can suffer and they know and trust that they can suffer better than others, there's an aggressiveness that you'll see when the athletes take the floor in the first row and in the first thruster. You're going to be like, okay, that person is going to work equally. For me as a commentator, for someone that could be covering an event like this, you know what I really like? I really like that I could watch someone row and I could watch someone thruster and then hit that first set of burpees and be like, that was a mistake. Came out too hot. Oh, and there go the wheels. And we're in the middle of interval number three, and they're getting passed left and right, and everyone in the heat is 10 now burpees ahead of them, and they were at a 10 burpee lead in round two, right? I'm not saying I hope that happens to someone, but also I hope that happens to someone. Like, that's why I watch the sport. People get in their feels, and they're like, oh my goodness, like, why would you ever say that, or why would you hope that? What do you mean? It's like saying, like, listen, when I go to watch a sport, like I really enjoy when people make mistakes because they're professionals or they're trying to be. And well, it's a part of sport and the nature. A fumble happens on the football field. And I'll say, oh, I can't believe that happened to him. I say, he should have had better ball security. Quarterback throws an interception. I'm like, oh no, I can't believe he threw an interception. It's so sad. I'm like, no, he should have studied better film, or he should have read his keys and understand that you don't throw the ball late over the middle. Come on, right? Like, so yes, we're armchairing it. We're armchair experts up in here, but I've been out there before. I've been out there before in many different categories. So I kind of know what it's like, and it's okay when people talked about me doing that. If I blew up on the floor, or if I mispaced a workout or missed a lift that I knew I should have hit or should have been capable of hitting, and they were talking about me not seizing the moment, that is A-okay. That is the sport. That is the name of the game. You better learn how to play. And if you don't like it, don't play it. And don't expect to make the money for the ones that are willing to play it and be under scrutiny and be in the spectator eye. Okay, I digress. Now we're going on to test number six, rep-par up. Okay, is that air, repair up, wrap, air up? Sorry, folks, I could be messing with it. Test six is three rounds for time. Handstand walk upstairs and down ramp, 20 and 15 calorie ski erg, 12 and 9 ring muscle up. Handstand walk ramp, handstand walk again, ramp, and then down the stairs, up the ramp and then down the stairs. Then you move the chest piece. Time cap, 12 minutes. So here we've got a test with no external loading. We're going to call this the more gymnasty or higher skilled test that exists within this scheme of days, or how this is going to play out. Three rounds, walking up the stairs, walking down the stairs. We got the ski erg. So we're getting redundancy here. Okay. Of course, most of this is going to be played in the upper body. The lower body is going to play a very low role in this, but overall conditioning still matters here. And you still need to use your hips and your legs to ski properly. So the handstand walk is going to fatigue the triceps and the shoulders. We know this, even a little bit of the grip, especially when we start going up and down the ramp. Then we're going to ski. You can't ski slowly. And then we're going to ring muscle up. Now, the question is, what kind of sets are we going to see athletes do here? I do like that the men and women are both skiing different calories and that they're doing different rep schemes for muscle ups. I think it presents unique challenges. It presents a more exciting race. The reason I say that is because not that the elite in the female field can't do 12 ring muscle ups. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, to make it a little bit more exciting, 9 is a rep that's much more achievable for the majority of the field that will show up to this event. I'd say the same thing at the CrossFit Games. There are certain things that we can finagle and twist on gymnastics tests that would make it for a bit of a more exciting race. Again, just at the tip of the spear, at the top of our sport, we got about 10 to 15 athletes on both sides that kind of run away with particular types of tests, local muscle endurance, high level gymnastics capacity, and you kind of know how to expect that. So anytime that we can play with a test that allows for me as a spectator, as a commentator, as a coach, even as a fellow competitor, to lean in a little bit more and pay closer attention, like who's going to do what? What's going to happen here? I like it. So I'm a fan of this test overall. I think that there's some potential traps here is the ski and the ring muscle up early. And I say that because even if you're great on your hands, if you blow up this middle portion and your heart rate's too high, you've built too much lactate in your lats and in your arms, that middle portion can get really sloppy. Once that gets sloppy, let's say the latter part of round two even, your handstand walk on the way back before you even move the chest piece is going to be the part where you might have some potential trouble. And that's, again, even if you're great at it. So I think that this is a very good test to watch. There will be a lot of excitement here simply because it will be relatively fast. And again, there's this nature for a lot of competitors to step on the floor and to go fast and take chances. And I like that. I like to see athletes go fast and take chances. And I think this will be a great opportunity for them to do so if they've got that capacity. So super exciting. Love this test and test number six. We moving on. Test number seven, as you can see, it's not announced yet. It says coming soon. You know what I hope? I hope they don't even announce it until the athletes get there or until it's hours before kickoff. And I say that because, listen, I'm going to go back and reference all this. They've got a very well-rounded test here. They've got a very well-rounded competition. But let's play around what it could be. Okay, so we're jumping, we're bounding here in test one. We're squatting with the sandbags, we're pistoling. So there's some redundancy there. We're below parallel twice here. We're going to strict press overhead with the strict inverted, strict deficit handstand push-up. And then, of course, we got the bike. Cool. We advance forward. We're going to go pulling redundancy, chest to bar pull-up snatches. Awesome. 42, 30, 18, 21, 15, 9, 11-minute cap. Great. The first test being the longer test, right, that exists so far, aside from the 5K, which we'll get to again in a second. Clean and jerk, three rounds, 90 seconds. We're bounding again, folks. The 50 jump bar double unders, not a ton of volume, but we're bounding again. It's notable. When you put together programming, you need to be aware of this. How many times are you accelerating away from the ground? How many times are you jumping? You know, what's it look like? All that. So, and this is the test where we're going heavy. Okay, we see that. Great. 5K run. 45 and 35. So it is a loaded run. It's single modality, monostructural. It's a run. Again, type of bounding in a way when you think about categorically running. It's not just monostructural, but it's one that definitely takes a lot more out of the lower body and the whole body as a system than rowing or skiing or biking or swimming. And then test number five, we got burpees over the bar, jumping again. 16, and we got the other erg, we got the row, and we got the thruster. So we're below parallel here again, and we can almost guarantee the vast majority of the field is going to be catching that clean and jerk below parallel in the test as well. Perhaps even some on that snatch workout, the final bar, that 125 and 185 on the barbell, they might need to squat below parallel. Three rounds for time, handstand walk. Okay, all inverted. We're pulling again. This time we got ring muscle up. So here's the way I look at this. Okay, we got six tests. They're all pretty fun. They're all pretty well-rounded. What could we hit? Well, my assumption is that we're going to hit something that is going to be another moderate time domain. And I believe that there are going to be ropes involved. And I believe that there are going to be dumbbells involved. And I say that from a perspective of we could see something like the devil press. We could see something with some rope climbs. And I highly doubt we're going to be running. We've already seen the GHD. We've already seen, the chest to bar pull-ups. We've already seen handstand walking. We've also seen strict handstand push-ups. But it could be something that's relatively quick, fast, and dirty. And it could involve dumbbells and rope climbs. And to me, that would be a way for us to kind of watch this finish in a pretty exciting way with filling holes that we have not yet filled. Unless they're going to take these athletes to the pool, of course. I think we, again, with the thruster being present already, with the pistol being present already, with the clean and jerk being present already, there's room for like some single arm squat snatches. There's room for single arm overhead squats and rope climbs, perhaps. And there's also room for some lunging. also room for some lunging, although we hit the pistols early. So nonetheless, I'm super excited to actually see what takes place. This is going to be an exciting and amazing competition. Any offseason competition is a great opportunity for me to pay attention and learn more about the field and what they're capable of and what's taking place within our sport, what names are showing up, who's choosing to gain experience, and also who's chasing the money, if I can be quite frank. Right, there's a lot of athletes that are fighting and scrapping tooth and nail to become a professional in the space. The athletes that put their name on the line a little bit more and their neck on the line included, of course, because there's a physicality within our space that makes competing too often a bit dangerous. But we want to see who's chasing a bag. Are they successful or are they not? Who's trying to improve and change things in their training? Do we see any ups and downs on the leaderboard that we didn't necessarily expect? Or did someone run well with the ruck on that didn't run well at the CrossFit Games? Or did we see someone completely transform their fitness from a subpar semifinal performance to this Madrid championship? Because that can happen too. We're now months removed from semis. Let's watch these folks throw down. Is there anyone that dares to go to Madrid and show up at Rogue? That's a question that I ask as well. Like how well can you hold that together? And then what's that look like for the rest of your offseason? Do you go to Waterpalooza? Do you just go to Rogue? And then you pack it in for the Open. So nonetheless, folks, a lot to look forward to. I appreciate you tuning in for this episode, a breakdown of the Madrid CrossFit Championship. Great job for those that, of course, you know, programmed the test. And good luck to all the competitors. I'll be keeping an eye out for the way this thing plays out. No doubt about it. See you guys next time.